Good afternoon and welcome to my mobile studio. It's Paul O'Mahony at a 1744 GMT driving through a Cork that is baked in sunshine. And 17 degrees in the car, which is unseasonably hot for us this year. And I'm going networking. I think that would be the simplest way of describing what I'm going to do. But I'm going to a networking experience unlike any I've had before. It's the inaugural meeting of a group of people who are connected in a network already, but have never all met together at the same time. The network is called Smarter Egg, and it's a group led by Aidan Enright in Cork in Ireland. And it takes many forms, this Smarter Egg broad network. The specific form this one is taking this evening is a gathering in a very good quality restaurant, eating a bit of food and discussing things to do with selling. I say things to do with selling because I have to reveal, declare, show that I haven't done my preparation. There were many things sent to me that I could have done and I haven't done them. And in that sense, I'm going with only half of my clothes to the party. That's right. Selling is the theme. To give you an example, there's a book by Daniel Pink. A very, very bright man, actually, Daniel Pink is. Daniel H. Pink. And the book is called To Sell is Human. And the funny thing about this is that I've suddenly run into a complete roadblock and it doesn't look like I can go anywhere. I'm not sure what's causing this, but at least it's an opportunity for me to calm down here and tell you a little bit about the surprising truth about persuading, convincing and influencing others. That's the subtitle of the book. I actually find these days that the subtitle of books is often more interesting than the title itself. I certainly felt that when I read a book by Gary Vaynerchuk in which the main title of the book was Jab, 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 Right Hook. But the subtitle of the book was something about how to tell stories in an increasingly noisy world, or how to get your story out to people in an increasingly noisy world. So the surprising truth about persuading, convincing and influencing others. Well, does that book have anything more than Dale Carnegie had in his book? The truth is, I don't know. Let me just read for you the introduction by Daniel H. Pink, since the car is going nowhere. About a year ago, in a moment of procrastination, masquerading as an act of reflection, I decided to examine how I spend my time. I opened my laptop, clicked on the carefully synced color-coded calendar and attempted to reconstruct what I'd actually done over the previous 2 weeks. I catalogued the meetings attended, trips made, meals eaten and conference calls endured. By the way, note the word endured, conference call. I actually love conference calls, but that's a different story. I tried to list everything I'd read and watched, as well as all the face-to-face conversations I'd had with my family, friends and colleagues. Then I inspected 2 weeks of digital entrails. Digital entrails, that's what he calls his emails. 772 sent emails. That's an awful lot of sent emails in 2 weeks. My goodness, that is a stunning number. 4 blog posts. Oh my goodness, that's a tiny number. I mean, I'd have done an awful lot more than that in a 2 week period. 4 blog posts in 2 weeks, Daniel. 86 tweets. Oh my goodness, that's ridiculous. I send those on a very active day, which is an exaggeration. But I certainly send those over, let us say, 3 days. I would certainly easily do that. And about a dozen text messages. Well, I send a lot more text messages than that. So he goes on. When I stepped back to assess this welter, I love that word, welter, of information, a pointillist portrait, that's that French portrait, painting style, pointillist portrait of what I do, and therefore, in some sense, who I am. What I do is who I am. There's an interesting point of view. The picture that stared back was a surprise. I am a salesman. Now, before I go any further, I had actually read that bit of the book already, but I read the foreword to the book, really. Or it's actually, you know how books have got a quotation at the beginning, and it's from, well, you might have guessed, Arthur Miller, Death of a Salesman, written in 1949, one of the great, great, great plays of all time. If you've never seen it, you're bloody lucky, because you have it ahead of you. When I saw it first, I drooled over it. Such a powerful play. What a great playwright. Anyway, this is the quote from Arthur Miller. But it's actually not a quote from Arthur Miller. It's a quote from a character in the play. I don't think this is Arthur Miller speaking, but we'll see. We'll see. The quote is, "The only thing you get in this world..." No, sorry, I'll start again. "The only thing you got in this world is what you can sell." You can hear this in an American accent, can't you? Or in... don't ask me. Milwaukee, was it? "The only thing you got in this world is what you can sell. And the funny thing is, you're a salesman. And you don't know that." Now, I actually don't agree with this character that the only thing you got in the world is what you can sell. I believe there is something you have which you can't sell. Well, do I really mean that? Yes, I do. Can you actually sell your authenticity? Can you sell your real, true inner self? Can you sell? You can sell out. And I suppose that's Arthur Miller has a point. So I'm not sure if I actually disagree with Arthur Miller, actually. It just is a good debating point, I suppose. But anyway, the point is, I haven't read my To Sell Is Human book. And I'm going to this meeting and... Maybe one other person there will not have read it. Maybe two other people. It's not a book club, you see. That's the complication. If it was a book club, I'd have read it, right? Because I'd have known that, well, I'd have had my turn to speak about the book, and I would have been dumb, if you like. Voiceless, and that would not have done at all. So I couldn't possibly do that. But no, this evening I'm going into a room where there'll be other people, and the book will have been used as a sort of aid memoir, something to bounce off, a bit as if somebody gave you a mirror and said, "Look in this mirror and see if you see what you see reflected back at you." That's the great thing about Adon Enright's Smarter Egg approach to books. It's not a book club, you see. When I began, I think I thought it was a kind of a book club, because I was in a wonderful book club in the UK and I loved it ever so much. And I'm actually dying to be in a book club, but, you know, I can't find one that would let me in. But the key point about this is that the book is really there as a sort of sounding board for your own ideas. So I'm going to go into this room where we all know, everybody in the room knows, that it doesn't essentially matter whether you've read the book or not. What really matters is, what's your stance on selling? How do you stand on selling? And are you open to having your views on selling challenged, changed, turned inside out? You know, if you go into this group and you defend your views on selling, it isn't terribly helpful, really, to anybody, except you get a chance to practice your defending skills, I suppose. But it's that kind of a networking situation where, you know, you listen to other people quite a bit. And certainly the man in charge of the whole thing is a real listener. Adon Enright is a huge listener. He kind of models the behaviour that the rest of us might aspire towards. I probably am, you know, aren't as good a listener as other people would like me to be. Yeah. But anyway, that's life. That's life. But the key point about this is that that's only a bit of what I should have done in if I followed the program assiduously. I probably should have sent in, you know, two or three words that I associate with selling so they could be put up in a word cloud, which will then be given back to everybody. And that's a valuable thing. I love word clouds, I have to say. And the fact that I failed to contribute my bit to the word cloud doesn't please me one bit, actually. But anyway, I'm going in without having contributed to the word cloud. The only thing I'm bringing to this group, which is entirely a good thing, is I have a need. I really do have a need to be better at selling. Or, if I put it another way around, I have a need to get more people to buy from me. I have a business, I have a company, and we don't have enough of the absolutely right type of clients, right? We could do with, you know, a few more ideal clients. So that's one of the reasons that I'm hoping that this evening will be valuable. I'm hoping that I might pick up a tip or a hint or a nudge or a collaborator, actually. Somebody who will help me to get into a situation where I will meet somebody who is in need, for whom Change Agents Branding is the ideal partner, collaborator. I mean, that's what we do. We collaborate with people. We're not really a service provider at all. We don't kind of deliver a service to people. We collaborate with them, which actually means that we have lots of, we work hard with them, and we sign up to their, we sign up to their ambition. Now, we sign up to their ambition with our eyes open. In other words, we don't sign up to any old ambition. We debate their ambition with people, and we... So basically, I'm going along here in need of help with selling from other people. And it's probably nothing to do with the exchange of, ideas about selling, which are going to make a difference this evening. It's going to be that there is... Okay, in the most ideal situation, there is somebody who's going to be there who has been saying to themselves, oh, thank goodness Paul is going to be there. I've really wanted an opportunity to talk to him because I know somebody or I have a business that for whom his company would be the ideal partner. Now, I'm getting screwed here, guys, I can tell you. I'm losing all my networking time because of heavy traffic congestion in the centre of Cork. And I'm now deeply regretting that I decided to come this way round in order to get to Fleming's restaurant, because I'm facing another 20 minutes, I would say, of driving if this traffic doesn't hurry up. And I'm meant to be there. Actually, the earliest I could be there would be 6 o'clock. So things are not good, actually. This is bad, bad, bad news. Anyway, that's it. I'm in need of... I've got loads of ideas about selling. I started selling at a very, very young age. And, I started sucking up into by a process of osmosis, how you do selling via my dad, really. I mean, thanks, sir. Thank you very much, sir. This man has been very effective with his motor car. He has actually prevented me from getting in front of him, but... That means somebody was telling me today that in Joburg, in Johannesburg, in South Africa, nobody lets anybody in front of them at all. So I'm interested in that. That man may be from Johannesburg, where they don't let people in front of them. And if they don't let people in front of them in Joburg, maybe... he doesn't like the habit in Cork of letting people in front of him. Anyway, back to selling. Selling is something I have always loved. I actually love the rituals that are involved in the lead-up to selling and the rituals that are involved after it. And I've done my best to practice the art of negotiating, which is the bit you do in the middle when you're of the sandwich, in between... becoming known to the other person, becoming an object of desire to the other person. The negotiation is about on what precise terms, but all the work that you have to put in order to make yourself known in the first place to somebody who has a real need, as opposed to just people in general, and has a real need for what you might be able to provide. I mean, all that is the really, really hard work. And then you get something that's less hard, which is persuading, I suppose, the word that came to me there, people that you are the one. You are the one that they should invest their very hard-earned time and money with. So that's a second one. And then you get down to negotiating the precise terms of the deal. And then you have... part of the selling is, of course, the actual doing the work. Doing the work, delivering the, making the product is, in my mind, thank you so much. I've just been let in by a very nice person in a white car behind me. And But I'm not out of trouble yet. I'm really still in serious trouble here. I'm in behind a 2008 Volvo V50, in case you're looking for a bit of colour in the situation. And that's a kind of a vague, kind of a silvery kind of a colour, kind of nondescript, highly popular colour, I would call that. Anyway, it probably has a very name that's very subtle. Turn off my indicators, which were there to thank people. Right, back to the question of selling. Yeah, the dance. The thing is, making the object, making the thing, making the object, delivering the service, is all part of selling. Because what you're really doing when you're selling, sorry, I'm sounding like a pulpit guy, but I actually think that selling goes on right through the piece while you're making it. While you're putting the website up, you're selling yourself, really, in relation to what's going to come next. And sometimes, you know, you do a terrific job leading up to something, and then during the process of delivering the goods, you screw up, and you thereby screw up your chances of getting any future work. So we all actually know that while you're delivering something, you're actually also selling. And you know, when you have delivered something, you know, the after sales service, if you like, I mean, that's also part of selling. In fact, so in one sense, you know, I can understand, you know, Daniel H. Pink's single short sentence where he says, "I am a salesman." I mean, ich bin ein Berliner. I am who am. I am a salesman. Yeah, a very brief thing. Do you have a little sentence you can say about yourself, which is, I am a... I mean, if you're a painter and decorator, do you say about yourself, I am a painter and decorator? Not really a good thing to say, you know. You'd be better to say, I am a deliverer of colour. So I deliver colour to your life. I am a, you know, designer of satisfaction. Or I'm a designer of satisfaction who uses paint to weave his magic. Anyway, look, I'm only getting highfalutin because I'm stuck in a bloody traffic jam and it's driving me around the bend. All I could really do is play a game on... played this with my daughter yesterday, which is, you know, you get a point for every time a car of your colour passes by. Well, I picked red, which was a stupid choice. I got about two cars in the period the game was going on. Just to give you the relativities, my daughter got 12 blue cars against two red ones. So that's 6-1 ratio, right? So that's, you know, that'll teach me to be, I'm not really in touch with the world of motor cars. That's what I have to say, really. You know, around me, I'd go for black next time. I tell you that, if I'm competing against my daughter, I'm going to pick black cars, because I think black and blue. And the third one is a kind of a silvery thing. But anyway, which is the colour of my own car. Kind of nondescript colour. Okay, if this particular audioboo has, you know, if I haven't already done an audioboo specially for Audiomo, AUDIOMO, that's the hashtag, you know, I'll willingly donate this to it, but I better find out if I have. If I haven't, I'm not going to put it in. I don't believe in, you know, I'm not entitled. One a day is quite enough. Anyway, that's it, selling, you know, yeah, need to be better at selling. I suppose you could say I need to be better at buying other people's hearts. How can I buy your heart? Yeah, what would I have to give you in order for you to release your heart and your heart's desire into my hands so that I could work alongside you and do some great stuff together? Anyway, Daniel H. Pink, bless you. And I do promise I will read more about you. I heard a lot of good things about you. You're a pretty successful author, and you've probably written various books that are terribly famous. You come highly recommended by the Harvard Business Review, who said this book is excellent, radical, surprising, and undeniably true. Well, that's the key thing. If you end up saying what people think is true, they end up swallowing you and thinking that you've joined them, and they feel bloody good about themselves. Thanks for listening. Paul O'Mahony, wishing you something better than a traffic jam. Bye.